Most people only meet healthcare when something goes wrong. But what if I told you that if you think like a healthcare CEO or a pro sports team in your own life, so you could bounce back faster from setbacks, protect your body, and lead your family or your team with more resilience? Today, we're going to go to and learn how to unpack the mindset behind 170 plus clinics plus 20 years in sports medicine so you can steal the habits and not only the job title. Now, welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. If you want real world tools for health, mindset, and growth, follow the podcast, subscribe on YouTube at Stacey Chalemi Advisor, and leave a 5-star review so we can bring an incredible guest on, like today's guest. And I'm really excited to introduce that person to you today. Now, today we have an extremely special guest on our show, and I'm really excited. Our guest is Dr. John Gallucci Jr., President and CEO of JAG Physical Therapy, one of the fastest growing physical and occupational therapy practices in the Northeast. And he's the author of JAG Method, where he shares principles that took him from training room to leading a company with more than 170 clinics and nearly 2,000 employees. Now, I am just so excited, Dr. Gallucci, to have you on the show today. And I'm so happy that you're able to take the time to help our listeners with the knowledge and your information that you're going to share today. Now, for our listeners, you can say hello and share in your own words what you do and who you feel are most important to you in your life, and share that in the comment box and ask any questions. And we are going to pass it over to Dr. Gallucci so he can answer your questions and help you in the future. Now, Dr. Gallucci, I am so happy to have you here. Can you tell people a little about yourself and what you do?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you so much for having me on the show today. Very excited to be here. As you gave me an unbelievable introduction, so thank you. Appreciate that. I am a licensed physical therapist, a licensed certified athletic trainer. I've had the privilege of working in both professions for over 25 years. As you said, I've worked in professional sports. I've worked in collegiate sports, high school sports. My niche originally as a physical therapist and athletic trainer was just sports medicine rehabilitation. And when I opened up my practice 21 years ago, I realized you couldn't just work in the afternoons at 3 o'clock till 6 o'clock taking care of athletes. You had to be able to treat everybody. And I felt, let's take the mindset of treating professional athletes to everyday people because we are people treating people. So it was exciting for me to take the mindset of treating everybody like a VIP, anybody that walks into our offices like a VIP. And I said, why should just the pro athletes get this care? And we opened our first location in West Orange, and it was my practice and very, very excited about it. And I put together a great team that many of them till this day, 21 years later, are still with me each and every day, making sure that New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania patients in the physical therapy and occupational therapy world are taken care of as they should be. Also, we are entrenched in the communities of New Jersey and New York with our athletic training service business, which means I still have my niche in sports medicine. I get to take care of athletes every day on the field, the ice, the court, and my staff gets to help them navigate the healthcare system, navigate who's truly going to help their child or that athlete get back, as we like to say, back the life they love, or get back on the field, the court, the ice. One of the most proudest moments ever was I had unbelievable athlete Zach Parise, who played here for the New Jersey Devils and the New York Islanders. And Zach was in the clinic treating for a knee injury. And sitting next to him was a 77-year-old grandmother who had a total knee, and all she wanted to do was be able to bend down and pick up her granddaughter. And I had both of them together rehabbing side by side, him trying to get back to on the ice and playing professionally to generate money for him and his family, and her wanting to care for her grandchild. So that's what it's all about, people treating people.
Definitely, 100%, and that is amazing. Now, when it comes to bouncing back from injury and burnout or setbacks using a team mindset, how do you go about that?
Well, two awesome questions, Stacey. Thank you. The most important thing is to understand your patient's goals. What are their expectations based on their injury and illness? Do they understand their limitations? Do they understand what's going to happen during the rehabilitative process? But more specifically, after the rehabilitative process, what are your expectations after rehab? Can I return back to exercise? Can I return back to work? Can I return back to the arts that I enjoy doing? What are my goals? And it's very, very important that we kind of unpack that in the first one or two visits to really understand our patient's goals after the rehab process and ultimately get them back to where they want to be. So, as I used the case earlier, we got Zach back. He was able to play close to 10 more years after that knee injury. And we got grandma, who not only was able to pick up our granddaughter, she actually has a little green thumb and had a garden that ended up winning awards, and always thanked the team at JAG Physical Therapy for helping her be able to get back to her garden and be able to win awards from her garden. And we do take a team approach, just like pro sports. Everybody in the clinic is engaged in the patient's outcome. And that's the most important thing, making sure that the patient understands that everybody surrounding you is there for you.
Oh, that is amazing. And it's so true. And you need that support. You really need an office of people who are really going to be there to support you, not only physically, but mentally too. Now, when it comes to simple ways to protect your body, if you sit a lot, you work long hours, for example, are you all and you, you know, and or are you always on the go? What are some ways to protect your body? Because, you have people that are, even if they're hurting, they're pushing themselves. And they're just pushing right through, and they're always on the go because they got to do. And then you have people that are just in pain, sitting on the couch. I can't move. I'm hurting. Or they lie in bed all the time. And as you know, lack of circulation means more pain, because if you're not moving that blood flow, then all you're doing is causing everything to stiffen up. The lack of blood flow, more pain. What's that happy medium? Like, what do you do to protect your body?
First of all, we all learn very early at an early age, movement is the most important thing for the human body. Even when it's in pain or sore, it's important to move. Circulation helps us heal. Circulation helps decrease pain. So those of us that may have pain and just want to sit or lay in bed, it's the worst possible thing you can do. You're stopping the process of what the human body was built for. It's built for locomotion. It's built for movement. You have to move. Some of the biggest tips that I give people is, let's think about it. We all learned, again, back in grade school, in physical education, it's important to have a balanced diet. It's important to hydrate appropriately. It's important to keep moving. But one of the biggest things that we always forget from our grade school health classes are, if our heart isn't healthy, getting good circulation through the entire body, good oxygenated blood through the entire body, including the brain, if the brain and the heart are not functioning correctly, then we always have a problem. So I'm at a point in my life and my age that when people say, hey, I want to go and I want to go play 10 hours of pickleball, or I want to go play 20 hours of golf, or I want to go and, climb a mountain, or I want to go do it. The bottom line is, let's pull it back. Are you aerobically, is your cardiovascular system, are you ready to do the activity? So I always tell people it's very important. Every human being out there needs to do something aerobic 20 to 45 minutes. I like to say 7 days a week. My wife makes a joke that John always says, you have to exercise every day, there's a why in it. Well, Monday there's a why, Tuesday there's a why, Wednesday there's a why. You have to do something 7 days a week. The body has to move. The healthier your heart, the healthier cardiovascular system, oxygenated blood getting through the muscles, the vessels, getting to your brain, you produce at a higher level, you function at a higher level. So the biggest thing that we can get your audience to understand is movement, movement, movement. And then secondarily, good diet, good hydration. Most people think it's important to have that coffee in the morning. Most people think it's important to have that cocktail at the end of the day. Just realize, we've got to stay hydrated. Alcohol is dehydrating. Caffeine is dehydrating. If you're sitting at work all day and you're working and all you had was two cups of coffee and you had no water, you had no other hydration, your body's working at a deficit. It's dehydrated. And then we run afterwards to meet up with our colleagues to have a cocktail. Now you're having a drink of alcohol. So let's put your day together. You could talk to people. You go call your friends tonight and you say, "Hey, would you drink today?" People are going to say, "I had two cups of coffee at work. I had a half a glass of juice in the morning. And then, I kind of lost the track of the day. I met up with my friends for a cocktail at happy hour." So basically, you took alcohol and caffeine and you dehydrated the body after hopefully 6 to 8 hours of sleep, which your body dehydrates as well. We have to get in our heads. Our body needs 6 to 8 glasses of fluid a day. So you've got to have 6 to 8 ounces at least 6 to 8 times a day. So I try to keep that 6 to 8 together. 6 to 8 ounces, 6 to 8 times per day, you need to have something. And again, people sometimes dislike water. That's fine. There's many other things you can do to hydrate yourself. Just make sure it's not high sugary drinks. There's plenty of things you could do. Lemon in the water, lime in the water, orange in the water. I got into this thing that's awesome. I do cucumber in the water. I love cucumber water. I have, as soon as I wake up every morning, I have an 8 ounce glass of cucumber water. So those are some great tidbits just to stay healthy and moving and reduce stiffness and pain.
I love that. I love that. Now, what sports or and business can what can it teach us about handling stress in everyday life?
Listen, it's important that when you look at stress, think about it. You're looking at stress, every single one of us every day has a different stressor. What stresses me may not stress you. What stresses the next person may not stress them. But how do you handle stress? I've got a great friend of mine. He's a cardiologist, and he always tells me, if people were able to get out their thoughts and speak their mind, politically correct, of course, but speak their mind, you'll and not offend people, your stress will decrease. But more importantly, as I talked about the exercise component, the more oxygenated blood going around, they have studies that have proven that if it's a healthy heart, a healthy you have less episodes of depression, you have less episodes of anxiety, you have less episodes of high blood pressure. So if all of the research that's been done before us is telling us that exercise reduces all of these common threats to stress, why wouldn't we exercise? The next thing is activity. What do you enjoy doing? Now, right now, we have this pickleball phenomenon going on, right? I just wrote a book. It's called Pickleball, Pickleball, Pickleball. Don't Get Hurt. I'm a bestseller on Amazon. My English teacher from high school can't believe I'm a best-selling author. But Pickleball, 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 Don't Get Hurt is a simple book of understanding. Yes, it's not as big a game as tennis, but you're still moving around. You have to be prepared for the sport. So if it's pickleball, if it's tennis, if it's golf, if it's dancing with your wife, whatever it may be, if that's your stress reliever, if it's cooking, I have a son. He loves to cook to de-stress. We're all getting a little heavy because he cooks too much, but ultimately, everybody's got to pick their outlet to de-stress. Me? I love to be in the gym. If my wife will tell you, I could be in the gym 2, 3 hours if I wanted to, but of course, schedules get in the way. Stress and the gym decrease dramatically. But all of us have to pick that niche. My brother loves to go for walks with his dogs. Again, but you're still moving, you're getting the activity, and research has proven it decreases your stress levels. So, I don't know if you want to be my cardiologist friend and telling everybody to call everybody out, or just take care of yourself and do something that really helps you.
I love that. There are so many people that get so stressed out, and they, how do you lead your family or your team or your business like a great coach and not like a stressed out boss? Because, whatever happens at work, a lot of times people bring it home to their families, their focus is off, their clarity is off, and not only does it affect their business, but they bring it home and it affects their family life too. Like, how do you overcome that?
So it's very important when we have our team meetings, I tell everybody, listen, problems are every day. And everybody has angst, and everybody has a story. There's not a person, a human being out there that doesn't have something that may have affected them. We all may have lost a relative. We may have a sick relative. We may have had a financial situation that held us back from doing something or doing something for our children. At the end of the day, when we come in as a team and we look at what we're doing every day, everybody has to take a step back and take a deep breath. I tell everybody, leave everything outside. Let's calm down, let's decompress, and let's talk about the issues at hand. And when we're talking about the issues, it's not about the drama that surrounds the issue. It's truly what is the issue? How can we handle it? What's the appropriate way to handle it? And now let's guide the people that are having the issue to help them get to a common path. But I've got an uncle who's one of my closest friends. If you can imagine, my uncle is one of my closest friends. And he always says these two things to me. Just remember, we could do anything in the world, but we can't buy time. And we've got to realize that we're here and this is not a dress rehearsal. So why shouldn't we be happiest going through it each and every day? And the only people that can make us happy is ourselves. And we have to really take a look in the mirror and say, today, what's going to make me be in a good mood? What's going to make me happy? What do I want to accomplish? I also do a lot of business classes. People follow me on Dr. Jag PT. That's DrJagPT on Instagram or LinkedIn, just John Gallucci Jr. But ultimately, in those business tips, I try to tell everybody, it's not about worrying about the obstacle. It's about being able to go through it, over it, or around it, because nothing should stop you from accomplishing your goals. And you should always have that in your mindset. And pretty much, I try to live that sort of story with my team and sort of bring that out. Again, when I first started and we went to the second clinic and the third clinic, people were like, John, you're not in all those clinics. No. But I'm teaching people a mindset of understanding the patient is first, they're a VIP, what are their goals, and it's our job to build their outcome. So, yes, we have 170 clinics. Oddly, if you can imagine this, we're the first company to touch all five boroughs in New York City. So, I love to tell everybody, we're New York City's physical therapy and occupational therapy company. We're the first company to touch all 21 counties in New Jersey. So, I love to tell everybody, we're New Jersey's physical therapy company. But at the end of the day, our goal is New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania to treat all of our patients to help them meet their goals and meet what they're trying to accomplish.
I love it. I love it. Now, can you give us a few practical tips from the JAG method that you started to use this week to help yourself grow personally and professionally?
So I want to make sure we unpack the JAG method a little bit. So the JAG method was a book that I was being interviewed by a reporter, and the reporter, and as you can tell, I'm very shy. But ultimately, the reporter, as I was walking off stage, he said, if you had to give me one thing that changed your direction or changed your life, what would it be? And I was stumped because like 14 things came to my head. So I basically said, hey, let me write you an email and I'll give you one or two, and then you and I will unpack it a little bit. So he goes, great. So sure enough, I go to the airport. I end up writing 14 different things. And my chief marketing officer, Kayla George, says, you know, this is great. You love to teach. Why don't we write a book? So we wrote a book together. It's called The JAG Method, and it was 164 pages of the most boring information you would ever read. And I'm like, nobody, the goal was to motivate people. I want to motivate 18 to 30-year-olds to understand that nothing should stop you from your goals. So ultimately, I brought my team in the room and I said, we've got 164 boring pages. We want to make this a 25-minute read. This book can't be more than 30 pages, and it's got to be geared towards that 18 to 30-year-old that wants quick results. They want a quick thing. They want to read it and get something out of it. So we took those stories, we compacted them, and There are 13 to 14 things that changed me and my mindset. So a couple of real ones is I tell a great story. It's the $7 story. My wife and I go to the store and we had $7. And we had to figure out until our next paycheck how we were going to live off of $7. And we made a game out of it. We had no money. We had $7 in our checking account because, as my wife will point out of 35 years, I made a mistake in the checking account and we had this $7. And we went in and we played a game. And, we got two cans of peas for 60 cents. We got, whatever it was. And we end up, we go into the produce. My wife goes, "We need some produce." And I said, "Dawn, we can't afford the produce." So sure enough, she goes, "You're not going to believe this." I go, "What?" "There's two $20 bills on the floor." So we were blessed. All of a sudden, we found $40. So now we had $47. She was like, "We could get apples." And I said, "Wait a second. We're healthy. We have jobs. We're in a position that if we had to go to a relative's house to eat, we can't. Somebody lost this $40. Let's bring it up to the manager and give it to the manager." The manager couldn't have been nicer and says, "I see you two kids. We were first married, trying to figure it out." He goes, "I see you two kids trying to figure out every week how to make ends meet. You found the $40. Take the $40." I said, "I can't do that. Somebody more in need may need it." So he turned around, he took $40 out of his pocket. And he said, "I will put the $40 here. And if everybody comes and gets the $40, I will give it to them. You two take the $40." So we take the $40, and I turn around to my wife and I said, "We're taking 20 and we're putting it away for a rainy day." And we went and bought $27 worth of groceries. But the biggest thing that he told me before I walked away, one kind brings two back. Being kind to someone gives you an opportunity that you may get something back in a positive way to you. So that's one story that's in the book. The other story that's in the book is never let anybody tell you no. I mean, listen, I had a poor grade my freshman year of college. Think about this. Think about 4 years of college. I had a poor grade my second semester freshman year in organic chemistry. I'm now about to graduate college. I've got a good cumulative average. I apply to a bunch of different schools. I get rejected from every school. I go to one of the directors and say, "You got to tell me, why did I get rejected?" I said, "My cumulative average is good. My volunteer experience is good. This is my passion. It's what I want to do." And he goes, "Well, you got a C plus in organic chem. We can't let anybody in physical therapy school into school with a C plus in organic chem." Ultimately, I said, "So you mean 3 years ago, I got a C plus in a class, and you're telling me I could never be a physical therapist?" And he goes, "Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it." Well, now I'm one of the most decorated, most written up, most productive physical therapist in our country, because nobody should ever tell you no. And that's one of the chapters in the JAG method as well. And the whole concept was just to help people take a story or two and really motivate them that nobody should stop.
I
And you can
love it.
find that on Amazon as well.
I love that. That's awesome. That's a great story, too. That is so motivating. Now, take us back to the beginning before 170 clinics and boardrooms. And it was you and your patients in a room. Like, what were some of the early experiences in training in the training room or in the sports medicine that shaped your way of seeing people and looking at people who had injuries and recovery today?
So I had the privilege when I was 13 years old, and I'm going all the way back to 13. My family owned a surgical supply business in Brooklyn, New York, and we used to deliver supplies to the physical therapy places. And I used to go in and see physical therapists treating patients. And what they did, I thought was amazing. They're literally helping injured and sick people be able to live their life. And at 13 years old, that's when I decided to be a physical therapist. As we go through life, and as I talked earlier, everybody has a story. Parents fell on hard times, finances fell on hard times, how to figure it out, how to move forward, how to pay for school. And ultimately, we laugh because whenever I'm in front of a business class or any educational institution, they always say, "Well, what kind of jobs did you have?" You name an industry, I've worked in it. I've worked in retail. I've worked in fast food. I've worked in pro sports. I've worked in collegiate sports. You name it, I've worked in it. And ultimately, in fact, my son used to say, well, Dad, did he finds things. Did you dig ditches in the rain? Yes. I dug ditches at a cemetery, unfortunately, when I was 18 years old, just to make a couple of bucks. So ultimately, people have to realize they need to be more well-rounded, take all these life experiences. People that they meet may be in different industries, but they may have tidbits to help you in sales, in marketing, in treating patients. And ultimately, when we opened up JAG Physical Therapy, it was me and my wife. And we're New Yorkers that we're trying to figure out where we can open up. Well, we couldn't afford to open up in New York. I had some relationships in New Jersey. We opened up our first clinic in West Orange, and it was me doing everything. Like they say, are you the chief bottle washer? I was in charge. I was the receptionist. I was the biller. I was the physical therapist. I was the marketer. You name it. I was the verification of insurance. I was the communicator to the insurance company. I did everything you can imagine. And that's what teaches you to build a team, because you don't want the team to just have one skill. You want your team to have every skill. So if you look at the people that surround me, and a perfect example, if you looked at our chief of staff here at JAG Physical Therapy, her name is Stephanie Checchio Paxos. She is amazing because she started off at the clinical level. She thought she wanted to be a clinician, but really quickly realized there was another part of the business of healthcare business. And ultimately, she wanted to learn the business. So she learned the front desk. She understood the insurances. She understood the interaction with patients. She understood customer care. And then she worked her way up into the executive team, helping and manage, put herself back to school to get her MBA to help us build more of a business structure. And now she's one of the top eight leaders of the entire company. Think about that. Came out of college, started a position for maybe $16 an hour, and now she's one of the top eight people in the company. That's what building a team is about, giving people an opportunity to be confident in themselves and grow in the pathways that they want to grow.
I love it. I love it. Now, you said your path wasn't easy or guaranteed. Now, when you look back, what's one of the obstacles that almost took you out? And what did you learn from it that the average person dealing with their own setbacks could use this information today?
Oh, when I was in college, my parents went bankrupt, and I had to figure out, all right, you're on your own. All of a sudden, I was on my own. I had to figure out where to live, how to pay for school, how to put food on the table. So ultimately, I learned very quickly in an early age that the only person that can help you get ahead is you. And what I finally did was I was able to get a couple of different jobs, put enough money together to rent an apartment, put food on a table, and be able to build off of that. Many, many years I lived check to check, and many of our viewers out there may be living a check to check. The most important thing you got to realize is many of us have been there. Don't quit on yourself. Build your passion, build your goals, build your path. Understand that nobody should ever be the blocker. As I said, everybody has a story. My story was more of a financial bearing problem that suddenly happened that I had no knowledge of. All of a sudden, everything is great, and then the rug is pulled out from underneath you. But think about now, society. People have to stand on their own 2 feet. They have to get student loans. They have to figure it out. I was one of the first generations to go and get absorbent amount of student loans just to put myself through college in the three different graduate schools that I went to. And ultimately, listen, came out of school and faced large amounts of debt. So it's great when I talk to our now graduated physical therapist and staff, and they're like, oh, you're JAG. You don't understand what it is to have a student loan. And I literally pull out my coupon books and show them. I had student loans just like you. I had to pay them over time. I understand that it's about budgeting. So it's nice to share my story with people that are now going through it. They don't realize that, I wasn't born into having 170 clinics through three states. I wasn't born into having 2,000 employees. We are very, very blessed, but it's all about team and working together, picking up your team member when they may fall down. And if you fall down, making sure you get back up.
100%. Now you've grown a huge company, but you still talk about the mom and pop shop culture. For someone who's listening who feels just like a number in the healthcare or at work, what does that culture actually look like in practice? And how can leaders create that sense of care on their own teams in their and in their families as well?
Lucy, that's an amazing question. And I got to tell you, it comes down to the individuals who we give the opportunity to run their own clinic. And when I say run their own clinic, although for marketing purposes and branding, it's JAG Physical Therapy, but the individual clinic is all about them, their personality, their community access. We give them the tools or the special recipe, but they're the ones treating the patients. They're the one that has to engage with the community. They're the one that has to be ingrained in growing the populace that people know them and know their skill set. And we try to make sure, although there's 171 offices, we try to make sure that everybody knows you're the one office in that community. You're the therapy team that's for that community. It's up to you to build the rapport with the community you're in. So we don't look at ourselves as one company. We look at ourselves as 171 individual companies in different demographics and catchment area. And it's been very, very successful for us. We've been very happy. And if you look at our clinical directors and our regional directors, they have really taken that upon themselves that, wow, it's not about selling JAG. It's about selling me. It's not about the JAG way. It's about how I want to treat patients, how I want to get the patients better. Now, we try to make sure everybody's treated as a VIP and treat people as you'd want your mom and dad treated or how you want to be treated. But ultimately, we make them own and operate and run their own office. And if you look at some of my unbelievable leaders in the company, you've got Mike Hogan in West Orange, you've got Jackie Ruggiero down in Freehold, you've got Emily Kaminsky down in Wall. If you ever, if any of you have an opportunity to pass by and introduce yourself to these people, you will see they are unbelievably ingrained in the community that they're serving. Sean Thomas and Ralph Avenue in Brooklyn. I mean, it's amazing. So
I love it. I love it. Now, you work with athletes and active people, but you also work with everyday patients. What are the top traits from sports like preparation, discipline, recovery that regular people can steal to handle stress, injury, or big life challenges to help them make better people out of themselves?
Stacey, thank you for that question. It's amazing that I've been able to take the concept of treating athletes and bring it to patient care the same way I would treat a pro athlete. And it's all about goals. It's all about motivation. It's all about expectations. And it's all about outcomes. And people have to understand that's the process at sports. That's the process in grandma that wants a garden, or the painter that has to make a living, or the plumber that has to make a living. Everybody has to have those principles to understand it's all about the last thing, which is the outcome. And I'm so proud to say that we try that every day. I've had such opportunities in the last 30 years to treat people from around the world. I mean, I've treated athletes from the EPL, the NFL, Major League Baseball. I worked in the NBA. I worked in the NHL. I worked in Major League Soccer. So I've had the opportunity to meet people near and far, different cultures, different walks of life. Everybody, as I said, has a story. But when you're in our hands, when you're in the JAG Physical Therapy team's hands, it's all about you, and we've got to strive for that outcome.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Now, a lot of people listening are high achievers. They put themselves, they just push through pain. They ignore their body, and they only stop when they break. Now, from your own perspective, what's the difference between healthy toughness and self-destruction? And what signs should people never ignore?
First of all, you should never ignore palpitations in your chest. You should never ignore continued headaches that you may be getting. So those are telltale signs that you should always see your general practitioner or your cardiologist. But the most important thing that I could tell the audience is you can have the passion to work as hard as you can. You could be doing an 8-hour day, a 10-hour day, a 12-hour day. But at the end of the day, if your engine isn't functioning correctly, you're never going to be able to achieve your goals. And I had to learn that the hard way. I mean, I am, as you can see, 24/7, 365 days a year. What you see right now is me. I don't drink caffeine. I don't have coffee. I don't have tea. Every now and then, I have a little Coca-Cola. But ultimately, I'm not a big caffeine guy. I like a Hershey bar every now and then, but I'm not a caffeine guy. But at the end of the day, this is all about my passion. It should be all about your passion. And back in 2017, 16, I noticed myself a little tired. I noticed myself getting that headache every now and then. And one morning, I got on the scale and I said, "You're the healthcare guy and you're 25 pounds overweight. You know you're overweight." And ultimately, I took my own health in my own hands. I took my own advice in my own hands. And since then, there's not a week that at least 5 days a week, 45 minutes to an hour, I'm doing aerobic activity. 3 or 4 days a week, I'm doing some sort of strength training for my body. I'm making sure that I'm taken care of. We all understand this from grammar school phys ed. So we've got to understand, we've got to keep moving because that's what keeps us healthy. And the amazing thing is I'm now 58 years old and I have more energy now than when I was 48 and 38 because I'm taking care of me. And the more I take care of me, I can take care of patients, I can motivate my team and get people going. So I'm excited that I finally took my own health needs and started taking care of me. And a healthier you is a more productive you.
100%. Now, when someone is on the edge of burnout emotionally and physically, what do we see in the clinic? Like, what do you actually see? Are there common patterns in sleep, movement, pain, or mood that you wish people would pay more attention to sooner?
I think that people don't understand sleep patterns. I think that people don't understand the feeling of fatigue. They want to do the quick fix of caffeine, but don't understand that's not the fix for appropriate rest. You know, your body needs rest. Science again shows us 6 to 8 hours of rest, sleep is very beneficial to the body. And if we're not getting that type of rest, we're not going to function at a high level. We're not going to produce at a high level. And sometimes we throw too much caffeine into our diets that interrupts our sleep patterns as well. So it's very, very important for us to take a step back and understand that if I'm telling you that science again and research has proven that rest has given you an edge, why wouldn't we focus? Now, we've all seen these Oura rings come out that read sleep patterns, but at the end of the day, it's pretty easy. If you put your head down on the pillow at 12 o'clock and you're up before 6 o'clock, you didn't get the rest. And I'm one of those guys. My whole life, I've never been a large sleeper. My whole life, I was always a 4.5, 5 hour guy. But I realized the importance of sleep, and I have made a focus on trying to make sure that I at least get 6 hours a night. And your productivity, your energy just drives. And as far as the concept of burnout, it decreases that risk of burnout so much more. And again, go back to what we started the conversation. Exercise and hydration decreases burnout as well.
100%. Now, for listeners who sit a lot, stare at the screens, or on their feet all day at work, what are three simple habits you wish anyone could do to protect their joints, their back, and their energy?
I think it's awesome to get up every 20 to 25 minutes, walk around your cubicle, your desk, your office as you can. I tell people, especially if you sit for long periods of time, try to do some high knees. So this way you're opening up your glutes, your hamstrings, and your low back and your paraspinal muscles. So you're kind of opening up. Second thing is I believe in hydration. Every 30 minutes, you should make sure you have some ounces of hydration, preferably not caffeinated or alcohol based. So that's my second tip. And my third tip at the desk is don't sit in a stagnant position. You got to make sure that you're in a position that you can move around. I know a lot of people went to these desks that go up and down so they can stand. I think they're very beneficial. I know people have gone to ball desks. I think they're very beneficial. You've got to figure out what works for you. But at the end of the day, a stationary stagnant position is not good. So try to break it up. So those are probably my three biggest tips of someone that's got to sit all day, look at a screen. The other thing is what is the height of your screen? You got to make sure that your height of your screen is eye level. Couple of books underneath it. I used to say phone books, but the kids don't know what phone books are. So now I say couple of textbooks underneath. Make sure if you're doing Zoom meetings or you're having communication, you're eye level to the screen. You're not looking down, you're not looking to the left. The other thing is everybody likes to crick their neck on the phone. It's better to stay neutral. The biggest thing that we're seeing now is people are getting rounded necks and shoulders. We call it kyphosis. We're seeing that because everybody's down on the phone like this. There's nothing wrong with holding your screen up here and being able to do it here. So, some quick tidbits for those of you that are stationary.
I love it. I love it. Now, you talk about the CEO mindset being similar to an athlete's mindset. Can you walk us through a few transferable traits that things like resilience, communication, or preparation, and translate them into what looks like for a parent or a teacher or a small business owner listening to this right now?
Communication is the most key thing. People, if you're a leader, you have to make sure the people you're leading understand your message. You have to be able to be clear. And if they don't understand it, you have to be able to accept their questions and be able to frame it differently so they understand it. Nobody should ever walk out of the room and not understand what your goals are as a leader. Second, what are their goals in the positions they're in? And they should be able to verbalize and or write their goals to accomplish the goals of the bigger entity. So that's very, very important. The other thing it's important to realize is I've had the privilege to be around professional athletes for over 30 years, and I've worked in different leagues. But what most people miss is they always want to know what it is about treating athletes. How about being around some of the most successful business people in the world? People that own teams, people that operate teams, people that are operating and managing teams. I've had the privilege to be around those people for years as well. And ultimately, watching them has taught me very, very valuable lessons of organization, of promotion, of all of operations. So it's not just about dealing with the athletes, it's also about dealing with multiple personalities and multiple skill sets.
100%. Now, in healthcare, you're leading teams who are often dealing with patients in pain, families who are scared, and staff under pressure. What have you learned about leading people well when they are at their not when they're at their best? And how can listeners use that in their own homes and workplaces?
I think it's very important that people have to learn to separate home from work because sometimes home comes in and stops your productivity, and sometimes work comes in at home and stops the harmonious working together with your spouse or a significant other. I think we have to have a fine line of separation. Work is work, family is family. You can share stories on either side, but don't bring home the angst and don't bring the angst into work. I think that's very, very important that people understand that. I think the other thing that people should understand as well, and again, I'm not this great philosopher, I'm a guy that just lives life. And at the end of the day, I think it's okay for you if you have a situation at work and you feel that an employee is bearing some more stress. It's okay to bring them in and have a global conversation and just say the words, "Are you all right? Are you okay? Is there anything you want to talk about?" You know, Human resources is never going to stop you from trying to motivate an employee from being better. And it's not that you want to get yourself stuck in their business. You're just getting them in a mindset to say, somebody noticed you're not yourself today. And most people will say, no, I'm okay. But when they walk out of the office, they'll realize I'm visibly in not a good place. So I think that's important, and you should not be upset to ask the questions. Now, if the questions become personal, then it's important to bring in a human resource person and really try to get the individual the help that they need. But there's nothing wrong with asking somebody that you think may be a little off. Are you okay today? Do you need a break? Do you need an hour? Do you need a day? Whatever it is, sometimes people just need a breath.
I like that. I like that. Now, your book talks about self-growth and staying hungry even as you succeed. For the person who feels they're stuck or they're topped out in their career or in their life, what are a couple of ways that they could start growing again and without just like blowing up their whole life?
I think that's one of the best questions I've ever been asked. And it's funny, it's the second time in a week I've been asked that question.
Oh,
And
really?
so you asked it, and a young student that I was teaching an entrepreneurial class asked the question similar. You did it in a much more professional manner than the student. But ultimately, what is your passion and what are your goals? So I had a passion to be a physical therapist. I had a passion to be an athletic trainer. I had a passion to open my own business. I could have worked for places for years. I could have worked for teams for years. I always wanted to operate my own business. I always wanted to put my name, my brand, my philosophy in front of people. At the end of the day, we're all entrepreneurs. Everybody likes to say entrepreneurialism, or the word entrepreneur as a definition, only goes back to business. Well, we take risks every day. You took a risk to go to college. You took a risk to take a loan to go to college. You took a risk to go to graduate school. You took a risk to take a loan to go to graduate school. You took a risk to open up that business. So it's not just, listen. I got married to a wonderful person. We took a risk, both of us together. Luckily, it worked. 35 years later, we're still married. But ultimately, you're taking risks every day, and that's what entrepreneurialism, just taking risk in work. The bottom line is nobody should tell you you can't if that's your passion. Now, if you wake up one morning and say to yourself, I want to own the New York Giants, you have to realize you have to be a billionaire before you can do that. So, what's your path to become a billionaire to buy the New York Giants from the ownership? So, you got to be reasonable all and build your steps.
Yes, 100%, 100%. Now, can you tell us about some of the services that you provide?
So JAG Physical Therapy offers outpatient physical therapy, occupational hand, and athletic training services throughout New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. We're very proud to say that we are very, very proud that we are all about being community-based and being a resource to the healthcare community. So if you need a doctor, if you need an image, if you have something going on and you want us to evaluate you, we're here to evaluate you. We're here to help. The bottom line is physical therapy can be an entry point into healthcare, and we're here to help and guide you and be that resource.
I love it.
And you
Now,
can find us at jagpt.com, JAGPT.com.
I was just going to ask you that question. I love it. I love it. Now, are you also on any social media as well?
So we have JAGPT, which is on Instagram, which is a good resource for patients. We have Dr. JAGPT, which is DrJAGPT, on Instagram as well. And then we're also on Facebook. And then we're on LinkedIn. My page on LinkedIn is huge, very resourceful for injury and illness, but very resourceful for business. So we're excited. We have a bunch of different mediums going on. And I understand from the team this year, we're going to get more engaged with some TikTok stuff.
Love it. I love
Yeah.
it. Well, this has been amazing. I thank you so much, Dr. Gallucci, for coming on the show today. You have shown, us a bunch of valuable information. Not only, did you explain, the basics, you really went deep into, a lot of things that people are suffering every day in their lives. And you also showed us a lot of different habits that we can break and learn how to really move through that stuck stage, something that a lot of people struggle with in life. And, just because, obstacles occur in our life doesn't mean that our eyes and that we could overcome our obstacles. We can achieve our goals and you can make our dreams a reality. And that's what you're all about. And I really have to thank you for being on the show. You showed a world of wisdom and you shared it with us. And I think my listeners are going to get a lot from this episode. So I thank you so much for taking the time to share everything with us. And I really admire you and what you're doing. Thank you so much.
Nikia, this was amazing. And if anybody ever has any questions, you could always even simply email me at info@jagpt.com as well.
I love it. And we'll put all this information in the description so people can find you and they'll know all your different social handles along with your website and everything else that will be helpful to them. So thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Looking for a more affordable way to own in 2026? With shared ownership at Latimer Homes, you can reserve your new home for just £26 before the 26th January. Lower upfront costs, modern, stylish homes, and a clearer path onto the property ladder, making it easier than ever to step into home ownership. Find out more at latimerhomes.com. T's and C's apply.